But could you turn with me, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes? The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. Right then, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm beginning at verse 1 and we'll read through to verse 8. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Now then, the theme tonight that I hope to speak on is the theme of time. That every one of us, whether we like it or not, we're governed by time. Whether it be a doctor's appointment, a hospital appointment, or just somebody to meet for a cup of coffee, we're all governed by time. And if we haven't got a watch, some of us are very clever and have our time on smartphones, etc. I'm the one of them. I still carry a watch. But we're governed by time, because time affects everything we do. Whether it be pick up in the morning and go to work. I remember, and I'm going back a lot of years, I was day shift at the Francis Collier. And I had the alarm set, I thought, great, plenty of time, and I had the radio on. And what I thought should have been 4:45, and it came up 5:45, I thought, but wait a minute, I'm supposed to be at the pit for 6 o'clock. And by this time, I'm still on the far side of Kenwasi. So it was murder. I had to get to the pit, get a locker, change into working clothes, and down the pit for 6:15. No time to go to the canteen, no time to get a piece. Murder, going down the pit without a piece. But we're governed by time. Some people that I used to know at work, they were either going, watch the time, clock watcher, waiting for finishing time. I never had that luxury. I didn't carry a watch to work, and I wasn't inside the clock. But we're governed by time, whatever we do. There are times in our lives that we like to have, and there are times we don't like. When things are going well, it's a great time. When things aren't going well, it's a murder time. We've read here how various things in these 8 verses, and all different things you can patch into various things in your life. Time, we're governed there. It's something we can't get away from. In Psalm 89, we read these words in Psalm 89, verse 47. Remember how short is my time. Now, I've no long since I've been 7 years back. And as a time span, it seems a while, especially when you're in things moving forward, it seems an awful long time. But when you go to your memory, what does your time do? Your time goes back donkey's year in seconds. To when you were a youngster, Then when you were a teenager, then when you're in your 20s, and it goes on. And you capture these things in time into your life. And how short is my time? The Bible says, if we survive 70 years and 10, and if by reading the strength, we carry on further. How short is my time? We don't know. Periodically, if you're in the cemetery and you look at the headstones, and what do you see? A child, a youth, somebody in their 20s, their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, into their 80s. But one thing we do not know, we do not know how short our time is. And time covers us on earth. We have a short time, the brevity of time. But sometimes time has a purpose, a real purpose. Especially when you get a deadline. You've got to be done by a certain time. When we go on a journey, if we're going to be playing or whatever, we have a tendency to always be early. We like to have plenty of time. So we're no hustled or no rushed. But there's an urgency of purpose, because the time is short, eternity is sure. One of our preachers in years gone by used to preach that. Time is short, eternity is sure. That's something guaranteed. The brevity of time. How short is my time? If then you can. When I first started working, there was a whole host of us used to walk through the pit and from the pit together. And I wasn't long saved. I didn't long put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we were all leaving, because we got to different spots, and we say, see you tomorrow. And I used to say, if the Lord will. We cannot boast of tomorrow, for we don't know what a day may bring forth. How short is my time? Within again. Hosea said, it is time to seek the Lord. The time is now. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, as I've just said. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. It is time to seek the Lord. And it doesn't seem much, but there's an urgency behind that. Bearing in mind the verse before it, how short is my time? It is time to seek the Lord. Urgency of purpose. The time to seek the Lord is now. You're no guaranteed tomorrow. It is now. Time to seek the Lord. And if we come over into Isaiah, Isaiah gives us the reasoning behind that. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The inference there being, there's a time coming when you look and seek the Lord. It'll be too late. In our lifetime, how long or how short it is, we have time to seek the Lord. Should we pass into eternity? Should we die and pass into eternity this evening? Have we haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour? It's too late. Seek ye the Lord while he is found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Call upon the Lord and he will save you. One thing I've found this is the Lord has something I don't always have. You've got to say, what's that, Sandy? It's an open ear. The Lord has his ear open, waiting patiently for you to call on him. Waiting patiently for you to say, Lord, save me. There was a time when the Lord was here on earth. He was walking on water. And Peter and the disciples are in a boat. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. He said, come on in. And Peter walked in the water until he started to look around. He got distracted with what was going on. He took his eye off the Lord. And the Bible tells us this. He began to sink. Now, although Peter was a fisherman, I don't know if he was able to swim. I have no clue. But as he sank, he began to say this, Lord, save me. Why? Because there was an urgency in it. He needed to be saved, not tomorrow, not next year. He needed to be saved there and then. Call ye upon him while he is near. The proximity, the opportunity. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That's now. Call ye upon him while he is near. That is definitely now. You need to be saved, and this is your opportunity. The proximity, the opportunity. Luke 19 and 10. We read this. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The story behind it is this. There was a tax gatherer who, as his fellow countrymen looked on, was a conspirator with the Romans. He was a traitor, as far as we were concerned, because he gathered taxes from the Jews to give to the Romans. He was a collaborator. He wasn't liked. He was despised. He was hated. Way of vengeance. But he was a Jew. And when the Lord spoke to him, the man had a complete change of heart. He turned around 180 degrees. He did a complete U-turn in his life. He says, Lord, if I've cheated any man out of what I'm not supposed to, I'll return unto him fourfold. He was going to fulfill the law, because the law demanded, if you cheat anybody, if you do anybody, and you're found out, you have to pay back four times as much as you do. And this is what the man did. And there were those who were grumbling, saying, look at him, he's a collaborator, he's the lowest of the law. But the Lord says this, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus came to seek and to save those who may have been considered the lowest of the low, the worst of the worst. But he came to save them. When the Lord Jesus looks at us, what does he see? I'm not talking about what we're wearing. What does he see when he looks at us? He sees us as one of two things in this company tonight. He sees us as one of two things. That is, a sinner needing to be saved and a sinner that is saved. Which category would you fall into tonight? In your heart of hearts, as you look at yourself, what category would you fall into? A sinner needing to be saved or a sinner who is saved? The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world with this one purpose. And Luke 19 and 10 sums it up perfectly. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Tonight, if you're not saved, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for you. He's looking at your heart and he knows it's free sin. He knows you need to be saved. He's given you an opportunity. He has come that you might be saved. What are you going to do with him? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that you? At one time it was definitely me. And bear in mind this, that I could put on quite a good facade. Went to church every Sunday, came up to primary Sunday school, junior Sunday school, senior Sunday school, Bible class. But you know this? Although I knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd never let him into my heart. I'd never trusted him. There's one thing knowing about somebody, it's a different thing knowing somebody. And I'll tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ knows us through and through, even though we don't know him. He knows us right to the very core. Our words, our acts, our thoughts, he knows everyone. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. If it's you, he's seeking you. And he sought me a long time ago. His purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. And you might say, oh well, I've heard that. What are you going to do about it? In Hebrews we read this. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Talking about time. If we go to the dentist, or we've got an appointment for the dentist, and we didn't turn up, he can discard us. He can write us off. It's as simple as that. Because we missed an appointment. We have to inform them, there's something cropped up, there's something wrong. And they can write us off. The same with the hospital. You don't keep an appointment without any good reason. You can say, right, forget the treatment. But listen to this. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Here's an appointment we will not. It's not we cannot. We will not miss. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. When we think of this, and we think a judgment, what do we consider? Do we consider that the Lord Jesus will look at us and say, there's the good bit here, there's the bad bit here, and we're up in the balance? It didn't work that way. The Lord Jesus looks on you as he looked on me and sees a sinner. And a sinner that could either experience the judgment of God, experience the full wrath of God for their sin, or having trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour, you're free from sin. You're free from the judgment of sin. But bear in mind, it's an appointment you will not miss. We'll keep it. Not because we want to keep it, but because God says, you'll keep it. We will not miss that appointment. In Acts 17 and 31, we read these words. Because he, that is God, appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. When we die, every one of us, when we die is because of the result of sin. When the Lord Jesus died, he died for a whole different reason. He was made sin for you and me, so that God would lay on him the judgment for sin that we deserved, not that he deserved, because he was sinless, that he became sin for us, that we, by believing in him and his sacrifice on Calvary, we can be set free from the guilt and from the penalty of sin. Sometimes in the news, when we hear of a court case that's happened, and we think, that's not right. These folk have got, to pardon the expression, they've got away with murder with what they should be doing. It's not right. The law hasn't upheld what it's supposed to uphold. The law has not been fair. It's been unjust. Or sometimes you think people have been judged unfairly and the sentence is over the top But there's one thing we can guarantee with us. When the judgment comes for us, as far as sin's concerned, God has appointed a judge. And the judge will be fair in all circumstances. There will be no bias. There will be no unfairness. It will be totally just. And how do we know that? Let's read the verse again. Because God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Totally right in all that is going to be. A judgment that is righteous. And who's going to be the judge? By that man whom he hath ordained. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that this judge is fair and that he hath raised him from the dead. The only one who is entitled to be a judge, because he had no sin of his own, and therefore he was able to judge. Guaranteed to be unbiased, guaranteed to be just, guaranteed to be fair. And why? Because he's not a judge appointed by men. He's a judge appointed by God. It's true to say this, that God looks on us as sinners, but he also looks on us with love. God willeth not the death of any. He doesn't want us to perish. It's not necessary for us to perish. Provide. We trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. God has said, the judgment's coming. It's heading for you, but there's a way out. There's an escape clause. And that escape clause is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. The judgment will be carried out by the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be just, fair, unbiased, righteous in his judgment. We can do only two things. We can either experience that judgment for sin, or we can miss it altogether. And the only way we can miss it altogether is by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. There is no other way. We sometimes, as Christians, say, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I used to have a boss. And I always thought, he was a man I loved, and I thought, he should have been a Christian, but he's not. He wouldn't consider putting his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he used to say, I hear you. It's blind faith. I said, no, it's no blind faith. It's this. When the judgment comes, there'll be two things happen if it was between you and me. I says, you stand before God and say, look, I did it my way. I did what I thought was right. And you're wrong. I say, when it comes to me, and God says, what about you? I say, the difference is, I'll point to the cross. The cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus died. There, he settled it for me. He died for me. He took my place. I trust him as my Savior. And Lord, you've forgiven me. You've wiped my sin slate absolutely clean. Tonight, if it came to the point of you having to face the judge tonight, where would you stand? Would you stand and say, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I didn't trust your son as my Savior. But would you do the same as me and point to Calvary and say, Jesus died for me at Calvary's cross. I believe it. I believe it in my heart. And I'm being forgiven. Tonight, what will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? The hymn writer says, soon. You will be asking, what will he do with me? In John 3, And doubtless you have heard the verse quoted many a time. For God so loved the world, or put it another way, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that if I believe in him, I will not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you come down to the end of the chapter, that's in about the middle. It says this: he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. In the old days, when there was such a thing as corporal punishment, and if the judge was condemning somebody to death, because that's what he deserved, on top of his wig, he would put a black cloth. He would pass the sentence that somebody had to be executed. Now then, between the sentence being passed and the execution taking place, there was a gap. But in that situation, there was no appeal. The sentence had been passed, the execution would take place, there was no appeal. Done. Gone. The difference between then and now is this: the sentence has been passed on you, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, that you're guaranteed spiritual death, spiritual judgment at the hand of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. That sentence, that is the sentence. The execution hasn't come yet. You still have time to trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour. So find up tonight. Trust him as your Saviour. Save yourself the, reverently say it, the hassle of experiencing the judgment of God. Trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be guaranteed a full, a free, and a perfect redemption by bending your mind, your knee, and your heart and saying, Jesus, I will trust you. Trust you with my soul, guilty, lost, helpless. Only you can make me whole. Simple prayer. But tonight, that option is yours. But the option will not always be there. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we appreciate there's a solemnness to preaching the gospel. There's the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that's us. The good news again that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, that's us. Lord, that's great news. The sad news is that if we don't trust him as our Saviour, we're guaranteed to be lost for all eternity. Time, we can measure. Eternity is into infinity, and we can't measure that. Lord, tonight, give us the grace to accept your Son as our Saviour. For without him, there is no salvation. Without him, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without him, there is no redemption from the slave market of sin. So Lord, give us the grace tonight to trust your Son as our Saviour. Lord, help us to bear in mind the theme tonight has been time. The theme has been serious concerning time, how short it is. So Lord, tonight, be with us and bless us as we draw this meeting to a close. For we ask it in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Could we take time, please, to sing the Lord Hymn 231. The words of 231. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf being tied. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, be in time. and reiterate that. Be in time while the voice of Jesus called you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just the way. Be in time. We'll take time to sing the whole hymn. Concerning the verses we've read, and you'd like to hear more or talk more concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, then you may fear to ask us. Right, thank you.